Now it's time to transition from that first SaaS application of Office 365 into the broader cloud, the IaaS world, where you use something like Microsoft Azure to really build a successful cloud-based business where you can make a ton of money as an MSP.
This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to episode 52 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability, with emphasis on the profitability part of that list today, since my guest is Joseph Landes, Chief Revenue Officer at Nerdio. Nerdio is an automation platform that helps MSPs deploy and manage services on Microsoft Azure. And we're going to be talking about how you can get into the business of offering cloud services hosted with Azure, and more importantly, how you can make money with those services. We're going to be walking through the ins and outs of the various programs that Microsoft offers that can get you up to 80% off Azure costs, so you can put that money either back into the business or on your bottom line. And let me tell you, Joseph is the right guy to be talking to us about this. He spent the first 20-some-odd years of his career at Microsoft. It's only in the last year that he moved over to Nerdio. So he's got some great insider knowledge of Microsoft products and services that he's going to share with us today. If this is your first Frankly MSP episode, I'm glad you're here, and I hope you'll find great value in this and all our other episodes. If you're already a hardcore fan of the podcast, well, thank you for your support, and I hope you're planning on hopping on a plane to California in January for Frankly MSP Live. I'm going to be there, and I want to meet you. I'm going to be recording an episode live on stage, and there's going to be a ton of other interesting folks there as well. Some you've heard on the podcast before, like Luis Alvarez, Barb Paluskiewicz, Rayanne Buccianico, Nigel Moore, and some fresh faces too, like bestselling author Tiffany Bova and Chris Blackman of Channel Futures. I and the team here at Avik have worked really hard to put together an event where you can step away from the hustle and bustle of your business for a couple of days, connect with a group of like-minded MSP leaders, pick the brains of our experts and our brain trust, and soak up some fantastic sessions that will fuel your growth for 2020. We have put all of the session info now on the website at Frankly MSP Live, so you can check out what's going to be going on. As I've said before, we're keeping the event small, just 150 MSPs for a true community experience. And because you're a listener of this podcast, I've got a special code for you. Enter Frankly50 on the checkout page to get $50 off your registration for Frankly MSP Live. That code again is Frankly50. Go to franklymsplive.com, click on the Register Now button, enter your code, and I'll be seeing you in January. Can't wait. Now, let's dive into my chat with Joseph Landes of Nerdio. Just a note, Joseph mentions the imminent release of Windows Virtual Desktop in this chat. This interview was recorded in late September when it wasn't out yet, but Virtual Desktop has now been publicly released. That came out September 30th, and I'll put a link with the details in today's show notes. On with the show.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks.
Hi, Joseph. Welcome to Frankly MSP.
It is great to be here. Thank you so much.
Let's talk about the cloud opportunity. Everyone always talks about the cloud opportunity for MSPs. What does that really mean in concrete terms for a service provider that's catering to SMBs?
You know, I think the big mistake that people make is they think that the cloud is this visionary thing that's far off in the distance. And that couldn't be further from the truth. The cloud is here today, and the opportunity is here today for MSPs. Many MSPs, I think, are stuck in the on-premises world, which is comfortable to them. They know how to go out. They know how to buy a server. They know how to manage it, to monitor it, to secure it. And they've taken their first steps and dipped their first toe in the water, if you will, into the public cloud with Office 365. Most MSPs definitely do not want to manage Exchange servers anymore. They'd much prefer to put their customers into Office 365. Now it's time to transition from that first SaaS application of Office 365 into the broader cloud, the IaaS world, where you use something like Microsoft Azure to really build a successful cloud-based business where you can make a ton of money as an MSP. So the opportunity certainly is here and now for MSPs.
And what are you seeing in the market in terms of how well MSPs are actually leveraging or taking advantage of those opportunities that are available to them?
Not enough. I think we're in the early innings, I guess, as people would say, of the cloud. And that offers a lot of opportunity for MSPs. Most MSPs, as I said, they've taken their first step to the cloud by moving their on-premises office business into the cloud with Office 365. And that is a great first step. Others might be experimenting with other SaaS applications. But the MSP world, as we know, is rapidly evolving. Most MSPs want to build strong monthly recurring revenue. And there's no better way to do that than to really deeply understand the IaaS world and the world of public cloud, and to start learning how to build a successful cloud practice with Microsoft Azure.
So I imagine there are some different things about managing in the public cloud versus what MSPs might be used to. So what are the new challenges if you want to move to this kind of service? What are the risks and pitfalls?
You know, we see a number of challenges that MSPs face when moving their customers' IT environments to the public cloud and Azure. The first is that MSPs find it to be an expensive proposition, not necessarily the cost of the cloud service itself, but that imagine you're an MSP located in Bellingham, Washington, or Melbourne, Florida, and you want to move to Azure. Well, you really have two choices. You could either go hire someone who could come work for your company who knows Azure, or you could retrain your existing staff in Microsoft Azure. Either of those two propositions create some amount of expense for your company. The second is that the MSP finds Azure to be complex. Azure is hundreds of services across IaaS, PaaS, and SaaS. It's technically complex. And if they want to move into this world, they need to learn how to architect and then manage a solution in Azure. And then finally, and probably the challenge that we hear more than the other two, is that the MSP finds it to be risky. What do I mean by that? Well, it's like the comment I made earlier. Most MSPs are used to living in the on-premises world where they know how to manage, monitor, and secure servers. They understand how to make money doing that because they've been doing it for many years. Now we're saying to the MSP, welcome to the consumption economy. Welcome to the world of cloud computing, where you need to bill your customers based on how much they consume. And that sometimes presents a certain amount of risk in the minds of MSPs, and it stops them from moving to the cloud, as opposed to saying to themselves, wow, this is a huge opportunity for me to make a bunch of money. Because in truth, an MSP can make a lot of money moving their practice to Microsoft Azure.
So you're saying that the risk that they're thinking about is my client's consumption might vary, and some months it might not be very much, and therefore I'm not going to make very much money. Is that what they're thinking?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit like this. They worry that the consumption will vary, as you say, and I think they worry most that their customer will, as they call it, overconsume, that they've bid out a product for, let's say, $2,000 of consumption in a month, and they're worried the customer is going to consume $2,500 of Azure services. And then the question becomes, do I bill the customer for that? Do I eat that? And the customer is not going to be super happy if I come back to them with a bill. How do I know how to price my offering to take into account what the customer will actually consume? That's the real risk that they see.
So let's talk about that. How does an MSP set themselves up to make sure that an Azure-based cloud service isn't going to make them lose their shirt?
Right. So the primary way that an MSP should think about it is to use what we call optimization. The most expensive way to purchase Azure is what Microsoft calls pay-as-you-go. That basically means taking a credit card out of your pocket, going to Microsoft's Azure portal, and purchasing a certain amount of Azure on your credit card. You will pay the most money for Azure that way. But if, as an MSP, you use and leverage a number of the programs that Microsoft has put in place where you could optimize your costs, you could make up to 80% more, and you could save up to 80% on the actual cost of Azure. For example, tactic one would be becoming a CSP reseller, a cloud solution provider reseller. What does that mean? It means you go to a large cloud distributor like an Ingram Micro or a Pax8 or a Sureweb, and you say, I would like to resell cloud services. And for doing that, they'll give you a minimum 10% discount on Azure. That's sort of the no-brainer way to save money relative to pay as you go. And then there are other programs that Microsoft has put in place that could dramatically reduce the cost and thereby increase your margin opportunity when purchasing Azure. For example, leveraging a great program Microsoft has called Azure Hybrid Usage, where you can get credit for Windows Server licenses that you've purchased in the past for Microsoft through different licensing programs and bring those licenses to the cloud so you don't have to pay to rent Windows Server again. Another example is reserved instances where you could prepay for a block of compute from Microsoft and save a ton of money doing that. And then finally, if you want, you could use an automation platform like Nervo for Azure, where you could have built-in auto-scaling capabilities. What is auto-scaling all about? It's knowing that your customer is not necessarily going to use a server or a desktop 24/7. So in those times that the customer is not making use of the cloud service, to be able to automatically ramp down the service and ramp down the servers and the desktop so that you're not charged for the compute or the operating system meters that are spinning. So there are a number of ways to really build a profitable Azure practice. Those are just a few that I've pointed out.
So I want to dig into those in more detail. Let's go back to the first one for a second, the become a CSP reseller. Are there any criteria that you have to qualify as a CSP?
First, go to the cloud distributor like a SureWeb or a PaxAid or an Ingram, and you need to say, I am an MSP and I would like to become a CSP. By doing that, it will become a lot easier to transact Azure. You will get, as I mentioned, a discount off of Azure list prices, and you'll have to let your CSP distributor, as they're known, kind of know, I'm making a commitment to you to buy this Azure from you each month.
Is there a commitment, though, in terms of you have to be so big or you have to be willing to spend so much a month? Are there any minimums?
Each distributor kind of has their own scheme that they have set up. What is the distributor doing? They are buying the consumption from Microsoft and then they're passing it on to the CSP reseller. So each distributor kind of has their own program in place, and I'd certainly recommend checking a few of them out. I think I've mentioned a few of them. I think Ingram Micro is a great one. PaxAid is a great one. SureWeb is another one. And each of their consumption discounts vary slightly, as well as rebates that they offer throughout the year.
Okay, so let's jump to reserved instances. Tell us more about those.
So the cost of virtual machines in Azure is the single biggest component of a typical MSP's IT environment. So therefore, if you could reduce this large consumption component, you will save money and increase your margins. And the way to think about it is that anytime you are transacting in Azure, there are basically two meters spinning. The example I like to give is in your house, right? In your house, you have someone called the meter reader that comes. Maybe it's automatic now, I'm not sure, but there used to be a person that comes to your house and he or she would read the meter. And the more lights you have on in your house, the faster that meter is going to spin and the more money you're going to pay. It works the same way in the world of public cloud computing in Microsoft Azure. There's two meters that are spinning. There's the compute meter and there's the operating system meter. And what reserved instances does is it stops the compute meter from spinning. It means that you go to your CSP distributor and you say, I am making a commitment, either a one-year or a three-year commitment, to buy a certain amount of Azure compute from you. And in return for that commitment, you can get a discount of anywhere from 20 to 57% relative to the pay-as-you-go price. The question then, of course, you ask yourself is, well, why is Microsoft and the distributor going to give me such a big discount? And it's actually quite simple. The reason is that Microsoft is operating a hyperscale cloud environment. They are continuously building data centers and availability zones around the world. If Microsoft can plan out their capacity in a more accurate way, they're able to provide the service to you in a less expensive way. So if they're able to get a signal from an MSP saying, I'm committing to buy this much compute over the course of the next year or the course of the next 3 years, it makes it much easier for Microsoft to plan their data center capacity and therefore give you a significant discount. So we at Nerdio believe that reserved instances is something every MSP really needs to learn more about. Our online Azure calculator walks the MSP through how to plan reserved instances, what they cost, and what kind of discount you can really get. In fact, Microsoft just made an announcement last week, which was actually quite groundbreaking for folks who are transacting in Azure, which is that you can now pay for your reserved instances on a monthly basis, as opposed to making an upfront payment across the duration of the contract. So in other words, it used to be that when you signed up for a reserved instance, you had to make a very large upfront payment to show your commitment to the reservation. Now you could spread that upfront payment out across the 12 months or the 36 months, which is just a great, great announcement for Microsoft that they're implementing right now.
That makes sense, because now an MSP can line up their payments to Azure with the incoming payments from the clients who are using that service.
Yeah, that's right. And before, now we believe that if someone wants to make the upfront payment and reduce their monthly payments, that certainly makes sense too. And there's ways to finance that even with different people in the industry, like Great America, for example. But certainly, I think an MSP wants to create great monthly recurring revenue. As you say, they have monthly revenue coming in. If they can line up their payments in that way, it certainly makes a lot of sense for them. So great, great announcement by Microsoft.
This brings up the question, like, let's say I'm committing to a 3-year instance and then I lose this customer. What do I do now?
That's a great question. We get that all the time. Imagine your customer goes out of business or leaves. Well, the good news is that you could cancel a reservation. You could return it. Now, there is a cancellation fee of 12% of your purchase price for the unused portion of your reservation. However, if you do the math and you think about the savings you're going to have, which is anywhere from 20 to 57%, that cancellation fee of 12% will be far outweighed by the money that you will make throughout the course of the subscription. So Microsoft lets you cancel and return it, or even reassign the reservation from one customer to another. So it's really quite flexible from that standpoint for an MSP.
So really, it's not all that risky to make that 1 or 3 year commitment, because there's lots of flexibility to reallocate it or cancel it altogether if you can't use it.
Yeah, we don't believe there is. We certainly recommend a 3-year reservation where you will get the best discount for Microsoft wherever you can. And if you can get past that hurdle, which is really, I believe, kind of a mental hurdle of thinking that you're going to be on the hook for something that you can't return or you can't transfer to someone else, you will make a lot of money selling Microsoft Azure.
Let's talk about hybrid usage now. So that was interesting, talking about bringing forward your licenses. Tell us more about that.
Right. So we talk about the other meter that spins, which is the Windows operating system meter, right? So you have to rent Windows Server from Microsoft when you're using Azure. Well, Microsoft has created a program called Azure Hybrid Usage. If you have purchased a Windows Server license, that's perhaps, let's say, it's licensed versus via EA or another volume license agreement with Active Software Assurance, which is a little bit less common in the MSP space, or you have purchased a Windows Server license via the CSP program, which is called CSP Software Subscriptions, you could take that license and get credit for it in the cloud. So you don't have to purchase that license again. And therefore, your Windows Server meter will not run. You won't be charged for Windows Server. And by the way, this is a benefit that only exists in the Azure cloud. It does not exist in AWS or GCP. So if you're considering, if you're an MSP and you're considering what cloud to move to, and you already have purchased Windows Server licenses, it's a super, super easy decision to make. Just go to your cloud distributor, make sure that you have software subscriptions. If not, you could purchase them in what's called an 8-core pack, minimum 8-core pack, to cover every server license that you're bringing over. And you'll get credit for those and not have to pay for Windows Server in the cloud. And that will increase your margin again, really quite significantly.
Now, you mentioned at the top of the podcast that if an MSP is looking to move into the public cloud and moving all of these services to the cloud, that they really need to look at bringing on a full-time Azure expert. Are these experts hard to find? Would one be enough to serve an entire customer base? Or how do you recommend that people approach this?
Well, they are hard to find and they are expensive. I think that's the first thing to be clear about. So typically most MSPs operate in a distinct geographical area, right? So again, the example we used before, if you're an MSP in Bellingham, Washington, you're probably going to service customers within a 50-mile radius of where you are. And probably you're going to have employees that work within that radius as well, or even closer. So the chances of finding someone who's sort of super deep technically in Azure out there, it's not that it doesn't exist, but it could be expensive to bring that kind of person on. The alternative, as I mentioned earlier, is retraining existing staff, which means taking them off of projects that they're working on and training them on Azure. The real alternative that we believe is to use an automation platform like Nerdio for Azure, which allows you to deploy, price, manage, and optimize an entire IT environment in Azure, so you don't have to make that significant investment in bringing on more engineers. And in fact, you could take the engineers that you have on staff and repurpose them from maybe lower level tasks to more high impact tasks for a customer, like VCIO work or things like that.
Now, using a platform like Nerdio, it sounds like there's still quite a bit of number crunching and good planning that needs to happen before committing to buying Azure and moving clients there. So what tools do you have available to help with that kind of stuff?
Really, our entire platform helps with that. Our deployment tool allows you to deploy a complete IT environment in Azure in under 2 hours and without the need for an engineer. Our cost estimator allows you to easily, in a wizard-based approach, plan out what it will cost you to bring a customer to Azure. Our management tool allows you to manage your existing customers in Azure and reduce time from common help desk tasks that your engineers are spending hours on every day and reduce those to minutes. And finally, our optimization functionality allows you to save money by spinning down the Azure meters when they're not in use and the Azure resources, servers, and desktops. So really, I'd say doing it yourself as an approach as an MSP, but using an automation platform is a much smarter approach.
Now, I know there's been some talk about Windows Virtual Desktop as something that Microsoft is releasing or just about to release. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Windows Virtual Desktop is an incredibly exciting technology that Microsoft is planning to release in the near term. They've publicly said by the end of the calendar year. We'll see how much longer we need to wait. And people are very excited about it because today most hosted desktops use a server operating system like Windows Server 2008 with something that they call enabled desktop experience. It's not a true desktop experience. It's kind of a mirrored experience. And that experience allows multiple users to share a single virtual machine, which results in a more economical and affordable deployment. However, with Windows Virtual Desktop, Microsoft is releasing a brand new version of Windows 10, which will support multiple user desktop sessions on a single VM. And that's great because the majority of the world now, I think more than 800 million people, are using Windows 10. So it's familiar to the MSP space, and everyone wants to use true Windows 10 as opposed to an enabled desktop experience. And this version, this Windows Virtual Desktop that Microsoft's releasing, is built specifically to enable hosted desktops that function in the same way as the desktops that hundreds of millions of Windows 10 users are familiar with. So we at Nerdio are very excited about it. We will have our product optimized with Windows Virtual Desktop built in on day one of general availability. So stay tuned. We're excited about this, as are many MSPs out in the market.
This has been a really interesting conversation. Do you have any parting thoughts for MSPs? One thing you want them to take away from the conversation?
Now is the time to learn how to build a successful cloud practice in Microsoft Azure. Nerdio is the company that could take you there. Please reach out to us. We'd be super happy to help you.
Awesome. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you so much for the time.
That was Joseph Landes, Chief Revenue Officer at Nerdio. I'll put links to all the things we discussed in the show notes at avik.com/franklymsp/052. Remember to grab your ticket to Frankly MSP Live and use the code FRANKLY50 at checkout for $50 off. And I'll see you in January. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.